We have one scripture lesson this morning. It comes from the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And in Hebrew, just so you know, the name of this book is actually At a Beginning. At a Beginning. So the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis tell us the story of the beginnings of God's relationship with all of creation and how we came to be sinners and how we need God throughout our lives. And so we get to the 12th chapter and we begin to meet Abram and his wife Sarai and their nephew Lot, people who can be found in historical record. And this is what it says about what is called the call of Abram, who becomes named Abraham a little bit later by God. And God's wanting to interact with the human family throughout history. Hear these words from God's word to you and me. Now, the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak at Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negeb. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word, both to our understanding, but even more importantly, to the nurturing of our faith. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we seek to unfold your word together, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our God is a God who sends. A God who sends people out. In Abram and Sarai and Lot's case, in the case of their entire clan, God sent them out into the wilderness. Imagine being 75 years old and picking up everything you have and just heading out to a place you were not familiar with, trusting that God would guide you. That's what God did. But God is a God who consistently sends people of faith out, sometimes into the wilderness, sometimes into places that are easier. Consider in Luke. I know you all did the missional church partnership for 3 years some years back, and you looked at Luke 10, verses 1 through 12, over and over and over again, and it says that Jesus sent out his disciples two by two to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Is there any town or place Jesus doesn't intend to go? The point right there was God sends people of faith everywhere. God is a God who sends. And so, you and I have to ask ourselves, are we people who like to plant ourselves in the comfortable and the familiar, or are we, as people of faith, followers of Jesus, willing to be sent where God would have us go? I've often wondered if there were other people that God asked before he talked to Abram who said no. Because I think it's a very normal human reaction to want to stay where life is comfortable. But I know that you all know what it means to be a people sent. You allow the Camp Crislin staff to come here, and then you send out into the community and invite children to come to the traveling day camp. You have to have outreach. You need to be sent out into the neighborhood to do that. And I think we had, what, 8 or 12 of our own children? And of the 108 that we had take part in the traveling day camp, all of the others were neighborhood children. We were a congregation sent out in order that those children might meet Jesus for the first time or deepen their faith in him and have a blast while they were doing it. God is a God who sends. The mission trip to Guatemala, we were a people sent. And so Abraham left. He left everything that was familiar and comforting and comfortable. It says here in verse 1, go from your country and your family and your father's house. Imagine hearing the voice of God say to you, I want you to leave everything that makes you comfortable and just trust in me. And Abram said, yes. God sends us, even when we might not feel comfortable, but we are challenged throughout the course of our lives to trust God more and more. He left everything. Now, you might be quietly thinking to yourself, depending upon your age and stage, I'm too old for that nonsense. I don't know how old our church is, but I'm thinking that as a congregation, as a church, we are older than 75. Abram was 75 years old when he was sent out, and his wife Sarai was a sweet young thing. She was only 65. And they did not yet have children. Imagine that. And that story is going to unfold, but that's for another Sunday. In our presbytery, the youngest congregations we have are the Highland Park Church, just down the way, and the Ward Avenue Church in Altoona, and one is 112 and one is 113. So that means we as a congregation are older than that, and yet God is still a God who sends and still calls you and me in our individual lives and as a congregation to be sent where God would have us go. Now, that's not necessarily easy, but it can be quite the adventure. Some years back, I used to go to the Synod's training event for African Americans. And you might say, why would you go to that? Well, because they had fabulous speakers and wonderful workshops, and there was no reason not to go. So I remember this one preacher. She had become a pastor in her mid-40s, and she was preaching at one of the big worship services at this event, and she said, you know, when I was a young woman, I was not a Christian. She said, I was a single mom with 3 little kids, and I had really had to pull myself up by my bootstraps, and I just wasn't sure about all that churchy stuff. But she said, I had a next-door neighbor. She was 88 years old, and she said, I was about 25. But every time I saw her, she was so nice. She always said hello. She always asked after the kids. And she would always say, oh, honey, I wish you'd come to church with me. You would love it. The people would love you, and God loves you. And I would always make excuses, she said. First of all, she was old, and I was young. Second of all, she was white, and I was black. Third of all, I wasn't sure about that churchy stuff. And I wasn't even sure if I had the right clothes to wear. But she said, then one day my neighbor went to the hospital, and I thought, you know, I love her. I have come to love her, so I'm going to go visit. And so she said, I went to try and take care of her. And we had a nice conversation, and then she said to me, oh, honey, you should come to my church. You would love it, and the people would love you. And she said, I thought to myself, here I am trying to help her, and she's trying to help me. That older lady was a woman who had a sense of being sent by God to talk with her young neighbor, who on the surface of things didn't have a thing in common with her. But that lady knew that God loved her neighbor and the children. And so the next Sunday, she found herself in the pew. And lo and behold, by the time we met each other, she was preaching. God is still a God who sends us out, even if we think we don't have the characteristics to be sent. Our age, our stage, our gender, our race, our language, our culture, none of those things preclude our being part of God's people sent out into the world. We are on the journey. You and I are on the journey of faith on which Jesus himself sends us. Now, why is that? Well, this scripture tells us. It says, I will bless you, I will make you a great nation, so that you will be a blessing. Our culture would tell us that we just want to be blessed. We just want to have a wonderful Labor Day weekend, which is fine. We want to have good food. We want to go to a picnic with friends or family. We want to accumulate nice things in our homes. We want to decorate the house or the apartment the way we would like. We want nice clothing, summer, spring, winter, fall. But why are we blessed by God? It's so that we can be a blessing for others. God wants us to be blessed, mainly inside. All the extraneous stuff kind of falls away when you face life's challenges. But God wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to other people. Whenever you and I teach a class or help build a habitat house or attend a committee meeting that makes important decisions, don't you feel like you've been blessed more than the people that you're working with, that you're trying to help? Whenever we try and do something for others, oftentimes it is the case that we're the one who ends up feeling blessed. We are blessed in order that we might be a blessing. The St. Francis prayer captures it really well, I think, when he says, O Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. And then there's another section, but it ends, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we rise to everlasting life. You and I are blessed as Abraham was, in order to be a blessing. That requires us to stay on God's journey. Abram kept moving forward. You and I need to do the same thing. Now, I don't know that this church has this temptation. I've not seen it yet, and I trust I won't. But sometimes when a pastor moves on, the temptation is to hunker down a little bit and to just replicate what we've always done. Now, if what we've done is good, you want to replicate it. But I also know that the Holy Spirit is still calling us as a people of faith forward into the future that God has in mind for the church. And that means we need to keep our hearts and minds open to God's calling. And so if you think of something that you believe the church should be doing in mission or ministry, talk to an elder. Take it to session. See if, even during this transition time, there are fresh new ways to keep reaching out. I know with your Partnership for Missional Church and your natural church development work that this is a congregation supremely well-suited to reaching out into the community. That is so important. The world around us will no longer tell people about Jesus. You know, we used to be able to count on the public schools to do that. We can't anymore. It's on us. We used to be able to talk about religion in public forums. That's not really what we do so much anymore. It's on us to be the people of faith and to reach out. What a privilege that continues to be. Our journey continues. And so, when our friend Abram came to the place called Bethel, that literally means house of God. Bet is house, and El is God in Hebrew. He came to both Shechem and Bethel, house of God, and he did two things. He built an altar in each of those places. Wherever he went, he built an altar, and he worshiped. That's what that means. His first impulse when he arrived at a new stage of life was to worship. Every week, you and I worship. We are a new week as a new stage of life, and so to worship. And then it says he pitched his tent. He spent a little time dwelling in each phase of life, but you know, tents are mobile. They're meant to be picked up and packed up and moved along because God is portable. Wherever you and I go, we are called to worship, to pitch our tent, to stay a little while, but always be ready for what new things God has in mind for us. So I'm counting on this congregation as you move forward in faith, look pastor, and then for the next called and installed pastor, to keep right on being the church that you have been throughout the decades. However many decades or centuries we are old, God still has fresh new things in mind for us. May we, having been blessed, continue to be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And now to the one who is able to keep you from stumbling and falling, from the one holy triune God, may you be blessed. May the deepest, richest blessings of the one holy triune God be and abide with every one of us, not just today, but always. Amen.